page?
Yeah, 73, that's right side. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. No Chaitanya Charitamrita. I don't have so much. Bhamsi Das doesn't have much, or Raghunandan that much. There's Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah. Hare Krishna. So today is the fourth day of the bright half of the month of Shravan, first month of rainy season. Yesterday was Haryali Teej, because now rain has started and everything is nice and green. So we see all the greenery. Haryali means green. So the Haryali is here. And today is the fourth day, the disappearance day of Bhamsi Das Babaji Maharaj and Raghunandananda Thakur. So on the disappearance days of the great devotees, Srila Prabhupada always used to chant one very beautiful bhajan by Narottam Das Thakur. So you can find it on your device.
Jaya Nilo Prema Dana Karuna Praju Eno Prabhu Kota Gela Acha Yataku Kahamora Swarup Rupa Kahasanata Sarago Nata Patita Bhava Kahamura Bhata Juga Kaha Kavira Eka Kale Kota Gela Gora Natara Pasani kuti mo mata anale pashimo Goranga gunera nini kota gele pavo Sa
Se Saba Sangira Sangi Jai Koila Vila Se Sangana Paiya Kande Narutamoda Sangana Paiya Kande Narutamoda Jayanila Prema Dana Karuna Prachu Ena Prabhu Kota Gela Acharya Thaku Ena Prabhu Kota Gela Raghunandan Thaku Eno Prabhu Kota Gela Bamsi Das Mabaji Jaya Vaishnava Thakur 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Srila Prabhupada Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Srila Prabhupada Vaishnav Thakur Ki Jai Nityananda Vishnu Mr. Bhad Mr. Bhangir Mr. A.C. Bhakti Vedan Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Ananda Guri Vaishnavan Ki Sad Goswami Prabhu Ki Namacharya Jir Haida Thakur Ki Prem Sikho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivan Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopi Go Shama Kun Radha Kun Giri Govardhana Ki Prajabhumi Vrindavan Dham Ki Sri Raghunandan Thakur Ki Sri Bamsidas Babaji Maharaj Ki Jai Gaur Premanand Sri Sri Krishna Baldao Ki Jai Gaur Premanand All glories to the assembly All glories to the assembly All glory to the assembly All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to you, to the Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna So today being Monday, we have the wonderful opportunity to hear from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita's postgraduate of spiritual life. So we're on Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila. Still in chapter 1, text, starting with text 64. Te bhaktagana yad vivida prakara Harisharagana eka sadaka gana ara Se bhakta gana haya dvivida prakara Harishara gana eka sadaka gana ara Se bhakta gana haya dvivida prakara Harishara gana eka sadaka gana ara Anyway, translation. Such pure devotees are of two types. Personal associates, Parisad, and neophyte devotees, Sadhaka. The translation, please repeat. Such pure devotees are of two types. Personal associates, Parisad, and neophyte devotees, Sadhaka. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Perfect servitors of the Lord are considered His personal associates, whereas devotees endeavoring to attain perfection are called neophytes. Among the associates, some are attracted by the opulence of the personality of Godhead, and others are attracted by the nuptial love of Godhead. The former devotees are placed in the realm of Vaikuntha to render reverential devotional service, whereas the latter devotees are placed in Vrindavan for the direct service of Sri Krishna. Uma Jnana Chamanandasya Garanjana Sadakaya Chaksurum Militandena Smay Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Tapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamaya Dadati svaparandiham adadanastarandandaividam yache puna puna Srimarupa padamujo durisyandamidamini Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanjakalpa Dhruvyasya Kipasindhu Vaivata Patitanam Pavaneyu Namibyo Namo Namah. So here it describes two different classes of devotees. Those who are parishats, in other words, personal associates of the Lord. Just like we hear about Raghunandan Thakur and Bamsidas Babaji in a little while. So they were completely liberated souls who were established in their eternal pastimes with the Lord. And then the sadhikas, like us, who were trying to become perfect by following the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti. So Prabhupada describes that those who were perfected, some are attracted to the opulence of the Lord. So therefore they go to Vaikuntha, where everyone worships Lord Vishnu with great awe and reverence. And those who are attracted to Madhurya, they come to Vrindavan to worship the Lord in different, very sweet Sakiras or Vatsaliras, of course Sringaras. As we hear Bamsidas Babaji, he was in Vatsaliras. So these are the two different divisions of devotees. So we go on to 65 and 66. Ishvarena avatara etina prakara amsa avatara aragna avatara Chaktavesha avatara tritiya emata amsa avatara purusha matadikayata. There are three categories of incarnation of Godhead. Partial incarnation, qualitative incarnation, and empowered incarnation. The Purusha and Matsya are examples of partial incarnation. We have three classes here. Amsa avatar, those who are partial incarnations. Guna avatar, those who are qualitative incarnations. And Saktivesh, those who are especially empowered incarnations. Brahma Vishnu Shiva Tina Guna Avatara Gani Sakta Visha Sandakari Krita Vyasa Muni. Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva are the qualitative incarnations. Empowered incarnations are those like Kumaras, King Prithu and Mahamuni Vyas, the compiler of the Vedas. So Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva are qualitative because each of them is in charge of one of the qualities, one of the guns. So they're called guna avatar. Like we know Brahma, who's not the creator, but he's actually an engineer. Everybody calls him the creator, but he simply takes the energy that is created by the Lord. Lord is the only creator. And he's the topmost engineer. How many engineers do we have here? Anybody engineer? Yeah, we have few. But anyway, Brahma, he's the chief engineer. And so construction, that's Rajagun. So he's in charge of Rajagun. And destruction, that is in charge of Shiva. Because it's very, very, very difficult to construct. That's the hard part. To destroy something, very easy. like we see, it's very easy. You just smash things, it's very easy. And that's a little simple, but that's in charge of by Lord Shiva. And he's in, destruction means tamagun. So he voluntarily, not that Lord Shiva is under the influence of tamagun, but Jiva Goswami in Tattva Sandarbh, he very, very carefully describes that Lord Shiva voluntarily takes the touch of tamagun to do the work of destruction. So that's tamagun. So construction is very hard. Destruction is very easy. Construction is quite hard. But the worst, the hardest part is maintaining. It's like we see, we're trying to maintain this temple. It's such a difficult task. Maintaining is the hardest part. So that's the charge of by Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is in charge of the... So maintenance, that is Satvagun. So these are the guna avatars. Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. So now there's who are Shaktivation, empowered incarnations, that is described. The Kumaras, they're empowered to distribute transcendental knowledge. King Prithu, he also was empowered at that time. King Vena was there, who created a big disturbance with his atheistic philosophy and atheistic ruling. So finally, although it's not the business of the Brahmins to do assassination, they finally assassinated him. So then King Prithu was there. Or was that? Was that Prithu or was that somebody else? So anyway, so he again began to try to put everything back together nicely. And Mahamuni Vyas, we're reading every day, except for Mondays, on the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is delivered by Mahamuni Vyas. So he's an empowered, a special entity who's been empowered by the Lord to perform some wonderful tasks. So the guna avatars, and Shaktivesh avatars. Dui rupi haya bhagavanera prakara ekata prakasha haya arana vilita vilasa. The personality of Godhead exhibits himself in two forms, prakasha and vilas. This is, I would always talk about, this is the science of Godhead, spiritual science. It's like when I first became a devotee, I wandered into a park in Boulder, Colorado. And very shortly, Bhavananda appeared there and began to explain the chanting of Hare Krishna. Of course, those days, all the young people knew, it became very popular, this chanting of Hare Krishna. We knew chanting. So then he chanted a very intricate melody. Not so intricate, but anyway, a little fancier than usual. But since I was a musician, I was able to follow him wherever he went. So he was very happy. And so you chant very nicely. So then people began to ask him questions. Like when somebody asked, what about the war in Vietnam? Just like now this big war is going on. And he said, you guys, you all go to the peace march and you're all yelling peace, 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 and you're eating hot dogs and hamburgers, which are the product of violence. When even in your own life there's violence, how are you going to bring peace in the world? When your own life, there's violence, how will you bring peace in the world? Because everybody's worried about this war is going on. Probably this material world is going on. Nothing you can do about this. Whatever it's going to do is going to do. You just prosecute your Krishna consciousness. The material world is going to do whatever it's going to do. And as long as there's wholesale slaughter of poor innocent animals, then wars and such things will go on and go on, and there's no way to stop them. So I lost my train of thought anyway. What was the verse? So then somebody asked, what about, and I thought, yeah, that's right. Because I was, by that time I had already become, because all my friends were vegetarians, I also became vegetarian. And I also saw everybody goes to the peace march and nothing happens. And I said, when the revolution comes, I know which side I'm on. I already given up on peace marches and things. So I thought, that's far out. These people are really heavy. So then somebody, what about astrology? Because we were all, because that was the one thing, although we were the most degraded people on the planet, performing all types of civil, taking so many types of drugs, pre-sex, all kinds of horrible things. Still, there was one tiny little spark that we wanted to know what life was all about. What is the purpose of life? So Prabhupada, he was so merciful. He was able to see that tiny little spark, this ocean of black. But this tiny little spark was there that we wanted to know what life was all about. And Prabhupada fanned that spark and made it into a great fire. So we wanted to know what is going on here. So we were studying astrology, we were studying tarot cards, we were studying numerology. We come to somebody's house whose address is 114, so that 1 and 1 is 2 and 6. 6 means this, and his license plate is that. And we were just trying to find out what is going on in this world. So Bhavana says, yes, these are all very subtle sciences. You can understand many things about this material world, but we're not interested in, even though it's very subtle, it's still material science. We're interested in spiritual science. I said, wow, me too. So here we have spiritual science. We're hitting all about. So there's two types of ways the Lord exhibits himself, Prakash and Bilas. So pay attention. We're going to learn about the different expansions of the Lord. Purport. The Supreme Lord expands his personal forms in two primary categories. The Prakash forms are manifested by Lord Krishna for his pastimes, and their features are exactly like his. When Lord Krishna married 16,000 queens in Dwarka, he did so in 16,000 Prakash expansions. Similarly, during the Rasa dance, he expanded himself in identical Prakash forms to dance beside each and every gopi simultaneously. When the Lord manifested his Vilas expansions, however, they are all somewhat different in their bodily features. Lord Balaram is the first Vilas expansion of Murti, and the four-handed Narayan forms in Vaikuntha expand from Balaram. There is no difference between the bodily forms of Sri Krishna and Balaram, except their bodily colors are different. Similarly, Sri Narayan has four hands, whereas Krishna only has two. The expansion of the Lord who manifests as bodily differences are known as Vilas Vigraha. So this is the science of spiritual world. The Prakash form, Prabhupada gives an example, but this is why we're here in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is, of course, the forest of Vrindavan. Prabhupada explains in Krishna book and first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that the forest of Vrindavan stretches from the town, the municipality now known as Vrindavan, all of the 24 miles up to Nandagam, includes Barsana and Govardhan. It's a huge forest. But this part of that forest became very famous because here in this place, Krishna performs his Rasa dance. And we know in the Rasa dance, he expanded to be with each and every gopi. Each and every gopi saw exactly the same type of form. This is called Prakash. Same bodily feature, everything exactly the same. She married 16,000 wives in Borca, and we were present with each and every one of them. And he had 16,000 palaces. Now they're beginning to find underneath the ocean in the coast off of Gujarat after Dwarka. They're finding the old Dwarka. All the ruins are still there. It disappeared into the ocean. So these are Prakash. Krishna has exactly the same features. And the Bilas is like Balaram. It's like here we have most enchanting deities of Krishna and Balaram. And so Prabhupada says there are actually no difference between them, but we see that Balaram is white, whereas Krishna is blackish, Shyam Sundar. So when there's some tiny difference in the form, that is called Bilas. And Prabhupada explains, just like Lord Vishnu, he's also a Bilas expansion because he's somewhat different. He has four arms. Just like there's a place in near Govardhan, which is right now so beautiful. Now that a little bit of rain has come, that's why this is called, yesterday was Haryali Tish. Haryali means greenery. The Govardhan is so green and beautiful now if you go there. But just near Govardhan, a little ways distant, is Paita. And that's where Krishna, the gopis were running here and there looking for Krishna. And Krishna took his form as Lord Vishnu, with four arms. So the gopis came, they bowed down. They said, "Oh Lord Vishnu, pranam. Did you see the son of Nanda Maharaj come this way?" They weren't interested. They were only interested in the son of Nanda Maharaj with two arms. And with his four arms, he said, "Yeah, he went that way." Then when Radharani appeared, he could no longer keep those extra four arms. They began to disappear. So but Lord Vishnu, he's Bilas expansion. He's got some slightly different from Krishna. And so here in this portion of Chaitanya Charitamrita, we're studying very intricately the science of Godhead. So as we mentioned, today is the disappearance day of Raghunandan Nandan Thakur and Bamsidas Babaji. There were three brothers, Madhav, Mukunda, and Nahari. And the son of Mukunda was known as Rajendranandan. And Mukunda, he had a very beautiful deity of Krishna that he was worshipping. And his son, Raghunandan, was about 5 years old. And one day, Mukunda, he had to go on some errand, a very urgent errand. So his son was always watching how he was doing the puja, how he was chanting the mantras, how he was doing all the things. So you have seen how I do everything. I have to leave today. So today you make the offering. So he said, "All right." So his father left. So the mother cooked. Then he brought the offering. And he did everything that he saw. He chanted all the mantras that his father chanted. He did everything, all the hand movements and everything. And he didn't see that the deity was eating. He thought, "Oh, I'm going to get in big trouble. If my father comes home and the Lord didn't eat, then he's going to be very angry with me." And he said, "Come on, please eat." And still, deity didn't eat anything. Then he began to cry, "I'm going to get in big trouble. Please eat, please eat, please eat." So then the deity ate everything. So later in the evening, Mukunda came home and he asked Raghunandan, "Where's all the Mahaprasad?" "Mahaprasad? Well, Lord ate everything. I did everything like you did, like you always do." Because then he would close the curtain, so he never saw what happened behind the curtain. So he ate everything. And Mukunda thought, "This boy is very good. He never tells a lie. What is going on here?" He said, "I know that he won't tell a lie, so what's happening?" So again he told him, "I have to go." So he left the house, and then he snuck back in by a different entrance. And he was hiding behind a pillar watching. And sure enough, Raghunandan brought the prasad, and he offered it to the Lord. And Lord didn't eat anything. He said, "Come on, please eat." My father will get, I'll get in big trouble. And still Lord didn't eat. Then he began to cry. He said, please, you take everything. You please eat. So then the Lord picked up a laddu and began to eat it. Then he spied that Mukunda was hiding behind a pillar. So he didn't hide the fact that he ate half the laddu, but he refused to eat it anymore. And Mukunda was completely in ecstasy. And he took this, his son on his lap and began to chant his glories. And they say that those who were very, very fortunate, even to this day, they can see that half-eaten laddu in Gopal's hand. So this is Raghunandan Thakur. Raghunandan Thakur. Bamsi Das Babaji Maharaj, he's a very, very interesting fellow. Very difficult to understand. Because he was not of this world. And only Bhaktivinod and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur were able to recognize that he was a Paramahamsa Babaji. Many people tried to imitate, and even at that time there were so many people imitating. And even among the avadhuts, he was an avadhut. He was completely, but Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinod, they recognized. He also recognized, these were Bamsi Das and Gorkishor Das Babaji and Jagannath Das Babaji, they're all eternal parsas, that's the way we're reading here. There's no evidence that they ever associated together, but they're all in the same class. But Bamsi Das is the most colorful. So somewhere in Bangladesh, because that time there wasn't, it was all part of India, there was a small village called Majitpur. And in that Majitpur, there was a fisherman named Sanatan. So Bamsi Das Babaji, he was born into the fisherman caste. And he spent all his childhood learning from his father how to catch fish and sell them, and whatever was left over, they would eat. So he didn't have very high birth. Most of the time we read about everybody who was born in a Brahmin family, but he was born in a very, very low caste family. At the age of 13, as was the custom, he took initiation from the... his name was Bhairab Chandra. He took initiation from their family guru, just as a custom. It wasn't anything that he took very seriously. But there was a nearby village called Jamalpur. In Jamalpur, there was a nice Gornitai temple. But somehow, Bhairab Chandra, he was attracted to that temple. So in the evenings, he would always go there and hear about the pastimes and glories of Lord Chaitanya, pastimes of Krishna. And there was a very, although there were so many pretenders, he was never attracted to all these pretenders. But there was one, Narottam Das Babaji. Not to be confused with Narottam Das Thakur, but he was coming in the same line as Narottam Das Thakur. So he was staying in that Gornitai temple in Jamalpur. And he became very attracted to him. And used to listen to him very carefully. And he gradually realized that everything in this material world is temporary and useless. Even if you, nowadays, when I was young, it was a big deal to be a millionaire. Now the big deal is to become a billionaire. But your $1 billion will not go with you. Everything will be finished at the time of death. So he heard about the temporality of this material life. He began to become very, very indifferent to material life. And his parents, seeing his indifference, they became worried. So they got him married. But still, his indifference began to grow and grow, such that finally, he left his wife and his six-month-old son and went to Jamalpur and surrendered at the lotus feet of Narottam Das Babaji Maharaj. And Narottam initiated him, real initiation, spiritual initiation, as Bamsidas. And already he was just wearing a dirty old dhoti with holes and everything. Generally this was considered to be a sign of poverty. It's like when we first, 1974, when we first came to India, we saw some people walking around with completely dirty dhotis and holes and this and that. Now we see it's become fashion. It's considered high fashion. You have holes all over your jeans. But those days were considered very sign of poverty, very low class thing. Now it's the fashion. But anyway, then he just had his bahirvas and his kopan. That was all. And he was completely detached. And he finally got some deities. Gornitai, Gadadhar, Radha Krishna, and his little Gopal, Laddu Gopal, that he called Bala Gopal. And his Gornitai deities, they were made of Astadatu, brass deities, or made of eight different types of metals. Radha Krishna, they were Astadatu. They were about 6 inches tall. Then he had 3-foot wooden Gornitai. And his little Astadatu Bal Gopal. And he spent the whole day talking with his deities. And his worship was very unconventional. There was no rule or regulation. He was, like I said, amongst the avadhuts, even he was avadhut. Sometimes, even midnight, he would start cooking and he'd offer to his deities. And he didn't necessarily ring any bells or chant any mantras. He would just do simple offerings and no rule or regulation, everything. He just dressed his deities in some dirty old cloth. When the winter came, he'd put some extra cloth on his deities like that. And all day long he would spend talking to his deities. And he would talk and talk, and then he'd be quiet like he was listening. But nobody could hear anything. Neither he ever revealed whatever his deities were telling. Those who were materially motivated, because everybody, if they're sadhu, they think sadhu means jadu, magic, that somehow we'll get some material benediction from him. So they would come to him with blessings, he would just ignore them. And he spoke very thick. Somehow he, from Jamalpur, he imagined, eventually came to Navadweep. But he spoke with this very thick Eastern Bengal accent. Nobody could even understand what he was saying. And from his spiritual master, he learned all the songs of Narottam Das Thakur. Because Narottam wrote all these songs in very, very simple Bengali. So that even the uneducated people could understand about the secrets of, deep secrets of the Vedas. So he was a simple guy, no education, so he learned all these songs of Narottam Das, and sometimes he would even put them in his own Bangladeshi accent, which nobody could follow. And sometimes he created his own song with no rhyme or rhythm or meter, and nobody could understand. Bhakti Vikas has written a book on Bamsidas Babaji. He took a lot of information from disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Jati Shekhar Prabhu. And Jati Shekhar said, because was one time, he did several journeys. One time he went to Vrindavan, and sometimes he would go on the train. Because even now, sadhu, bereft sadhu gets on the train, that TT won't bother him for his ticket. So he would travel on the train, and he had a little tent. Wherever they would go, sometimes he'd go by walking, sometimes he'd go by boat, and sometimes he would have his followers, you know, set up his tent, and he would worship his deities, be in the tent for hours and hours, just talking with his deities and worshiping them. And sometimes he would just live on the boat. He was completely, totally unpredictable. Nobody knew. Sometimes he'd go by bullock cart, sometimes he'd go by train, sometimes just walking, sometimes by boat. And he got to Gaya, and he saw Lord Vishnu's footprint in Gaya. He was in ecstasy. From Gaya, he went to Ayodhya. Then from Ayodhya, finally, he wandered on down to Prayag. Well, first to Kashi, then to Prayag. And then finally, he came to Vrindavan. And he lived here and there in Vrindavan, very simply. Sometimes at Bamsibad, sometimes at Mansarovar. Sometimes here and there, a few days he would spend each place. He wandered around Braj like this. Then he returned by some very interesting route. And Jati Shekhar happened to be with him. One time he decided to go to Puri. So he went by walking and by boat. It took him about 3 months to go and come back. It's not like now, you just jump on the Neelachal Express and go there. Took him 3 months to go from Navadvip to Puri. And Jati Shekhar said he never saw him pass Urine. He never saw him pass Tool. He never saw him take a bath. He was such a... And he was just always talking with his deities, and he never said I. If he spoke about himself, he would say, well, sometimes you just say Bamsi wants to go here, or Bamsi Das wants to go there, or Bamsi Das wants to do this. But he never say I. He never spoke in first person. He always spoke Bamsi Das wants to do this. He went to Puri. He stayed in Puri. He enjoyed the Rath Yatra festival. In fact, he was camped out near Gundicha, and the Rath cart came. When he got to a place where he's camped out, the Rath, now they couldn't get the Rath to move in any way. Because the Lord was enjoying his relationship with Bamsi Das. Finally, they got the chariot to move. And he saw return Rath, and he stayed in Puri for some time and relished so many wonderful pastimes with Lord Jagannath. Then he came back, and sometimes he was just totally unpredictable. One time he cooked sweet rice for his deities, and then he threw it on the ground. And he scolded his deities. You guys went to Vrindavan, and you took nice date palm gur sweet rice in Radharaman temple. So why should I feed you again? And he threw his sweet rice on the ground. So Bhaktisiddhanta used to send some followers, or the different Gaudiya Mutts would send some followers to take care of him. So they wrote to Radharaman Mandir, and they found out that on that particular day, they had offered this palm gore sweet rice to Radharaman. So he refused to cook for his deities. And sometimes he would tell them, get out, get them out of this tent. He would completely in another world. And anyone came to him for anything material, he just ignored them. Just like on his way back from Puri, some Marwari businessmen came, and they wanted to know when the war would be over, because they wanted to make some profit. So he just looked at them and said, I don't know anything about these things. He just completely ignored them. They immediately left. And he was completely—he was just in another world, only talking with his deities. And did you enjoy your prasadam? How did you like it? Was it very nice? Nobody heard them respond, but he would wait for their response. And sometimes he would chastise them. Sometimes things would get stolen, and devotees become upset. He said, "That person who brought was a thief. That person who took is a thief. My Lord is a thief. Why are you worried?" Another time things were stolen, he told that devotee, he said, why are you worried? Just like every day you shave and tomorrow it comes back. So the money is gone, it came to a thief, another thief has taken it, it will come back tomorrow. And sometimes he would get very angry with his deities for some reason, nobody could understand, and he would chastise his deities. In this way, he wandered. Took 3 months to wander to Puri and and back. Then he again started to Vrindavan. And he got as far as Gaya. And the pandas came and they wanted him to make some donation. Because they're all interested. That's the pandas' business, to make money. So he just avoided them and he just laughed at them. And afterwards he made some bad comments about them. So then instead of going on from Gaya, he went up to Patna. And then he came back. Nobody could understand what he was doing. And then he stayed at Navadvip for some time. And his bhajan kutir, or not bhajan kutir, just had a little tent. It was on the bank of the Ganga. And one day he told his... that was one time. One time when they were traveling from Patna, then one... a very learned fellow, he was a professor in the school there. And he came to see him. And because the devotees heard him tell his deities that last year for Jamastami, you had date palm gur. This time you're going to get mangoes. Everybody, where's he going to get mangoes? And this professor showed up with a whole bag of mangoes. He said, I had a dream last night. And I said, you immediately go out. And even in the dark, I went out, I bought some mangoes, and I told to go to this place, and he gave all the mangoes to Bhamsi Das, and Bhamsi Das very happily offered them to his deities. So like that, he was just completely in another world. So he was camped on the bank of the Ganga, and then he told his servants, all right, you take everything and go, because tomorrow the Ganga will come. And sure enough, the next day, the whole place was washed away by the Ganga. Another time they told Babaji Maharaj, the Ganga is coming, it's going to flood, because he was camped on the floodplain. He said, no, I like it here, I'm not moving. So they put stilts and they built a little bhajan kutir on top of the stilts, and the flood came and he stayed in his bhajan kutir above the flood. So he was completely like this. And when he was staying in Navadvip, the Bhaktisiddhanta used to send some brahmacharis to bring fruits and vegetables and things. And one time they brought him some jackfruit. But they took out all the seeds because they will use the seeds for cooking. So then he laughed. He said, you brought me jackfruit and you kept all the seeds, and laughed and laughed and laughed. And sometimes he would misbehave. They would bring him things and he would just... What do you think you're doing? You're bringing me things? My thief, my two thieves, Gornitai, my two thieves, they bring me things. Who are you? He would misbehave with them like that. Sometimes he would throw the things in the river. Sometimes people would give him donations. He would tell his servants to go throw it in the river. They'd bring him nice things and he'd just throw them in the river. He was completely in another world. So anyway, so every day the devotees would come from Chaitanya Mat and give him some different things. Sometimes he accept, sometimes he would throw them, sometimes he would chastise the people who came. So some of the brahmacharis, they became upset because they couldn't understand that Babaji Maharaj, his exalted position. So they began to speak bad about him in the Mat. Bhaktisiddhanta heard about it, so he stopped them. All right, you guys are not qualified to associate with such a Paramahamsa Babaji. Then there was one older devotee. He told him, without telling anyone, you go there and take things to Babaji Maharaj. And somehow Babaji Maharaj liked him very much, so he wouldn't tell any of the other brahmacharis, but he would bring things to Bhaktisiddhanta. In fact, wherever he went, he was in Patna, in the Patna Gaudiya Math, they would send things, they would send people to help him out. Wherever he would go, all the Gaudiya Math devotees would help him out. And finally from Navadvip, he went back to Majidpur and visited his old place in Jamalpur. And he stayed in Majidpur. And I believe it was 1944, on this fourth day of the bright half of the month of Shravan, then Babaji Maharaj returned to Golok Dham in Majitpur, where he was, place where he was born. And even today, it's a tiny little village. There's nothing there. There's no hotels. There's no nothing. But still today, if you go there, you will find at least 20,000 people have come. We'll have a two-day festival for Bamsi Das Babaji. Because they're all very, very proud that one fellow from our village has become such a great devotee. And people, and that those days it was quite astounding, because the fisherman caste, that means he was totally considered to be untouchable. But even great Brahmins would bow down and beg for his, they were begging. This was unheard of, especially in those days. They would beg for his mercy. And wherever he went, just like Gaudiya Math devotees were with him, he would eat his, take his prasadam, and then he would leave some remnants. But the devotees who were with him, they didn't take those remnants. They would pack them up. They either send them to Vrindavan or they send them to Mayapur. His devotees were very, very anxious to get the remnants of Babaji Maharaj. So they would always wait to get some package in the post with Babaji Maharaj's remnants. If they were spoiled, they would still eat them with great joy. And Babaji Maharaj, although nobody ever saw him take bath or he didn't have any regular schedule, still he was quite healthy. He was very, very healthy, and because of his ecstatic love for Krishna, he was completely healthy. So he was just in a complete other world. So many, I can't remember, there's so many pastimes in Bhakti Vikas Maharaj's book, but I can't remember them all right now. But he did so many interesting things. And he always carried his Gopal in his right hand, wherever he went. The other deities, the devotees would wrap them up in cloth and put them in a basket and carry them. But Gopal, he would always carry it while they were walking or wherever they were riding the boat or whatever. He'd always be talking to Gopal. He'd always be talking to his Gopal. He carried him around always, wherever he went. And Prabhupada said, he a couple of times Prabhupada mentions Bhamsi Das Babaji. He says, so if you see the deities and think it is just stone, then for you it will remain stone. With this Bhamsi Das Babaji, he was every day talking to his deities. So if you have actual love, the deities will also talk to you. So today is the holy disappearance day of these two wonderful devotees, Raghunandan Nandan Thakur and Bhamsi Das Babaji. So we just pray on this holy day that somehow we can get tiny, tiny speck of their devotion. Sri Raghunandan Nandan Thakur ki jai. Sri Bhamsi Das Babaji ki jai. Divine grace, Sri Prabhupada ki jai. So if anybody has any questions, we can try to give an answer. So if there are no questions, we can fall down at the dust of the lotus feet of these great personalities and beg for them tiny, tiny speck of their mercy. See the Raghunandan Thakur ki jai. Srila Bhamsi Das Babaji ki jai. Divine grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.